Bibles, please, to the Gospel by Luke. Chapter 2. And verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man, or rather, good pleasure in man. I think you know the distinctive characters of the four Gospels. In Matthew, we have the Lord Jesus as King. He's born a king. And there are seven mountains on which he sits as sovereign. And that's Matthew's story. And we find him on a mountain giving directions to his own and telling them that all power, all authority is his in heaven, on earth. But in Mark, he's the servant. And in the first chapter, you have a day of service characteristic of the servant, the prophet. And in Mark's Gospel, you find seven distinct spheres in which he serves. Seven mountains on which he sits in Matthew. Seven spheres in which he serves in Mark. But the key word to Luke's Gospel is glory. Glory to God. The key word to John's Gospel is the glory of God. In Mark, he is the priest, a man, one of us. And he ministers to us. In John, he is the Son of God, come from his bosom, declaring his glory. And we have seven times in John's Gospel the glory of God. John tells us that at the feast in Cana, he began to show forth his glory. And so it's the glory of God in John's Gospel. But in Luke, it's glory to God. I suppose most of us have, at one time or another, learnt the catechism. And the question is asked and answered. The question is, what is the chief end of man? Do any of you know?
Glorify God and to love him forever.
To glorify God. Now, man did not glorify God. And that's God's indictment of man. Belshazzar, when he had that feast, in all the glory of Babylon, Daniel said, the God who created you, ye have not glorified. In Romans chapter 1, we have the same indictment. They glorified not God. And man was created for God's glory. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth answered to God's purpose in a threefold way. He brought glory to God. And he was peace on earth. And God found delight in man for the first time when his Son was here on earth. Now what I'd like to do with you this morning is to trace glory to God through Luke's gospel. A diamond reflects and throws back all the rays of light that shine upon it. Carbon is just the opposite. It absorbs it all. Doesn't throw back a single ray. Our Lord Jesus Christ was the diamond bringing glory to God. Now, you'll notice that brightest objects are seen to their greatest advantage over against dark backgrounds. And it was in this scene of sin and sorrow and shame that our blessed Lord brought glory to God. But you'll find that as he touches human lives, those lies are transformed from carbon of sin into diamonds reflecting God's glory. And God is getting glory from His people, His redeemed people here on earth. And it delights His heart. Now you'll notice here in verse 9, how that we have the shepherds in the middle of a scene of glory. Verse 9 of chapter 2. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Do you know that that is God's purpose for this earth? Turn with me to the prophet Habakkuk, or Habakkuk if you like that better. And you'll notice in the second chapter and the 14th verse, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Now, how much of the sea is not covered by water? None. It's all covered. And how much of this world will not reflect the glory of God when God's purpose is fulfilled? Every bit of it. If you turn to the book of Psalms, in the first psalm you have one man that brings glory to God in the midst of a scene of sin. Blessed is the man. What? What's the first? And what's the second? And what's the third? I heard Joseph Flack speak on that psalm, a converted Jew. And he said that is the perfect tense. He never walked in the path of sinners. He does not, and he never will. There's only one man who fits the picture of Psalm 1. Our Lord Jesus Christ. The man that never sinned, the man that found his delight in God, the man that meditated on the Word of God constantly, day and night, his breathing was in the will of God. What is that one man going to accomplish? Psalm 150. Praise unto Jehovah. Universally. For the man of Psalm 1 is the Jehovah of Psalm 150. And there will not be one spot in this creation of ours that will not bring glory to God. He'll banish from this world, banish all that will not glorify Himself in the darkness of the eternal night of that place to which I trust not one of you will go. Do you see that? Is that clear? Can you anticipate that day, however? Is God getting glory out of your life and out of my life? Well, you'll notice lives touched by our Lord Jesus Christ in this gospel, and God glorified. Are you interested? Would you like to look at these persons? Look then, first of all, in verse 20 of Luke chapter 2. And the shepherds returned. What were they doing? Glorifying and praising God. Now, what was it that caused them to glorify God? Three things. For all the things that they had what? Heard and seen as it was told them. Now, may I suggest here that the things that they had heard was the gospel message. A gospel of glory, as you'll notice in verse 9. A gospel of comfort that said, fear not. A gospel of joy. I bring you good tidings of great joy. A gospel that's universal, which shall be to all people. A gospel that's individually realized. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. A gospel that brings salvation, but a gospel that demands obedience. A Savior, which is Christ what? The Lord. Something that's forgotten today. He's not only a Savior, He is a Lord. And He demands allegiance. Now, the shepherds heard those good tidings. But not only was there the ear, they saw. What did they see? Who did they see? Well, who did you see when first the light shone into your heart? The Lord Jesus Christ. One of our verses last night was, we see Jesus. And at the close of the meeting, someone said to me, I'll never forget the first time I saw Him. Well, of course, it's by faith. We see Him. The shepherds actually gazed upon Him. But we see Him. Receiving the gospel, we glorify God. Right? Am I right? What is the first thing you did when you got saved? The first time in your life that you brought glory to God. Am I right or wrong? So one shadow that needs to be removed is refusing the gospel. Those who refuse the gospel are dishonoring God. How do you bring glory to God? By receiving His gift. By accepting Christ. By having the Word of God verified in your life. That's first. The gift of His love, incarnation. Second, chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 25. And immediately He rose up before them and took up that whereon He lay and departed to His own house. What? Glorifying God. Because of what? sins forgiven. Look at verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Here's where we begin when the gospel is effective in our lives. Do you know that there are people who pray every day, Forgive us our sins? And they're not in the full light of the gospel. All our sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing we are free, you cannot bring full glory to God as the diamond that flashes back the rays of light that shine upon it unless the sin question is settled absolutely. You glorify God when you know your sins are all gone. You say, yes, past sins. Well, what's going to happen to your future sins then if they're not gone? He's not going to come from heaven and go to Calvary to put them away. He put them away once and forever. They're gone. They're gone. I preached in Boston. I have a tabernacle there. And I spoke on the altar in the labor. He died to put our sins away and make us clean. He lives to keep us clean, the labor. And I spoke on the fact that our sins are gone, forgotten, never to be remembered again. And that many a child of God is not enjoying the full light of his presence because of sin consciousness. We just don't forgive ourselves, though God has forgiven us. Am I right or wrong? Can we this morning stand in the presence of God without a spot, without a stain? Indeed we can. Indeed we can. Clean every whit thou sayest it, Lord. Shall one suspicion lurk? Thine surely is a faithful word, and thine a finished work. When Christ died on Calvary's cross, he glorified God in the act of putting sin away. That's the burnt offering if you're a Bible student. The sin offering is our side of it. But the burnt offering is God glorified in the act of putting sin away. And God was glorified more because of sin than if sin had never come into the world. Is that right or wrong? He glorified God. Glory to God. Of course, I could preach an hour on each one of these. What time do I have to finish? Where's the boss? No, not that long. Our next shadow, these are shadows. Our next shadow is the shadow of sorrow. We can allow sorrow to get us into, where do you go? Into the dumps? And the diamond isn't shining. Look at the next. Chapter 7 and 16. And if in the first refuse not, and in the second sin not, here we have a word of our Lord, chapter 7, weep not. Weep not. Verse 13, Luke 7, verse 13. This woman that was going to that dark spot on earth where we commit our loved ones to the Lord, but to the, you know. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, what? Weep not. Weep not. And what did the Lord do? He spoke. The young man was restored, delivered to his mother. And what was the result? Verse 16. They glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up amongst us and that God hath visited his people. You know, that's a shadow that came over me a bit today. I had six sisters, four of us brothers. Each one of us had six sisters. But one of the most important was Anne. She ran the Gospel Folio Press. She brought up with it. We were just lost when the Lord took her to heaven. A year ago today, her body was in the funeral home on Christmas Day. I thought of that this morning. The Lord said to me, weep not. I could allow that shadow just to rob me of the joy of this day. You believe I could? And maybe you can too. And in Scripture it says, and it's an important word, eat not of it in your sorrow. Why? Because the Lord can bring joy into your heart in the darkest night. He can cause you to rejoice no matter what the sorrow. I don't know whether any of you knew Bob Moyer, associated with Dr. Riley of Minneapolis. They had one little girl, and the Lord took that little girl home to heaven. He used it earlier to do it. And so they had a funeral. And there were only three there. Bob Moyer, his wife, and the little white casket, and the undertaker. And Bob said, I heard him say, he said, you know, I was so overwhelmed, I just couldn't say anything. Just couldn't do anything. And my wife said to me, you're not going to allow this little body to go to the grave without something, Bob, are you? I can't, dear, I can't. She said, then I'll sing for her. And she sang. And she sang in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. God was glorified in that scene of sorrow. He got glory. Didn't he? Didn't he? He sure did. You can have the brightness of glory to God with the hot tears streaming down your cheeks and a broken heart. Why? Because you see Him. Your eye is on Him. And He brings joy into sorrow. Earth hath no sorrows that heaven cannot heal. And on the dark background of sorrow, His glory flashes. We can glorify God. 13:13. Chapter 13 and verse 13. On her, and immediately she was made straight. And what did she do? To woman. Do you know the story? She had an infirmity. She had it for 18 years. I've had it off and on for 65 years. It was eye-itis. You know anything about that? Here was a woman, all she could see was herself. She was a human question mark. Have you ever been a human question mark? What was the trouble? If you turn to a psalm, Psalm 77, you'll find that Asaph had the same infirmity. What's the infirmity? Occupation with self. And then you're not the diamond. When you're occupied with self, you're not glorifying God. I asked one time, what's the best, to be occupied with good self or bad self? I wonder if you know. Anybody want to give me the answer? Yes? Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. This woman looked at herself. There was a Pharisee who looked at himself in the mirror and said, I'm pretty good. I thank God. But he wasn't thanking God. God didn't get glory out of that. Did he? Did God get glory out of that Pharisee telling him that he was so glad? He thanked God that he was so good. Have you ever done that? Well, I know you haven't, but have you ever been so down in the dumps and discouraged because you're so bad? Have you? And you say, I'm no good. And they want you to teach a class. Well, I can't teach. I'm no good. I just can't talk. I. Never begin a sentence with I. You got the I-itis. And it's an infirmity. Oh, how sweet, away from self to flee and shelter in my Savior. Oh, wondrous grace, in Him's my place. In God's eternal favor. God doesn't see you. You know what God did with us when He saved us? Well, I got something in here. I wish I had a kind of a... Well, anyhow. You know, God took you and He put you in Christ. And that's the end of what? The end of self. The end of self. You know, that's the hardest. We have a motto. I went to Sturgis for many years with a Friday class, and they had a motto there, and one day I said, that motto's all wrong. I thought it was quite right. It was Christ first, others next, self last. And I said, I'm going to change that motto. Christ first, others second, and self out of the picture. I know one thing. I know myself, that if I give myself any little place, it would wiggle its way to the top before I was aware of it. Or else, if it was bad self, I'd get down to the bottom so far, be no good for God. Self must be out of the picture altogether. And this woman, when the Lord laid hands on her, immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Objective ministry. And I don't mind what you say about me. Today there's so much subjective ministry, touching this and trying to correct that and trying to correct something else. And there you are, and when you try it, bam, you get so confused, you go to a psychiatrist and get it down farther more than you were before. Am I right or wrong? What's the remedy? Objective ministry. I could go to the moon, I'm not going to the moon. But when our scientists go to the moon, they say, now, moon, you're an awful creature. You borrow all your light from the sun. Why in the world don't you transform yourself into a beautiful place? And how much good would it do? Well, some of the young people, isn't that right? We do too, my wife and I do. And she isn't old, but I am. When you look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens? What happens? You're changed into that same image as by the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit of God will occupy you with Christ. I'm going to tell you something now. I don't mind if you differ from me, but I like to have you agree because I like to have you right. Well, isn't that nice of me? In our day, there are people who are occupied with themselves, and they say it's because they're filled with the Spirit. Don't you believe a word of it. The Spirit of God never speaks from Himself or of Himself. The Holy Spirit of God speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord says, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the great I am. But the Holy Spirit never speaks of Himself. Search from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. The work of the Holy Spirit of God is absolutely to reveal Christ to our hearts and to magnify Christ and to make Him precious. Never speaks of Himself. Did you get that? Do you believe it? Now it's 11 o'clock. But do you want the rest of them? All right. 17, 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. What did he turn from? From blessing. Have you ever read the works, or perhaps you've sung the song of A.B. Simpson? Have you ever heard of A.B. Simpson? Do you know that song of his, Once It Was the Blessing, Now It Is the Lord? Can you fail in giving glory to God by being occupied with a blessing? Yes, you can. Sin will rob God of the glory that's His. Sorrow can rob God of the glory that's His. Self certainly will rob God of the glory that is His. But being occupied with a blessing instead of coming into the presence of the blesser can rob you, or can rob God of the glory that He should get. Once it was a blessing. You know, what would I think of my wife if I'd furnish her with a nice home and give her all the comforts of life, which I hadn't given her, but she's got some of them anyhow. And she'd say to me, now, I'm so glad, I'm so happy, I thank you for this, now you can go on your way. I'm just going to enjoy what you have given me. Would I like that? Would I like that? You know, one thing that our Father looks for is worship. Where are the nine? Do you think that's a proportion today? You know what worship is? Giving to God. The first time you have worship in the Bible, you have it in Genesis 22. When Abraham said to those he left behind, I and the lad will go and worship. What was Abraham going to do? Give to God. That's worship. You know, what's the only thing you can give to God? The worship of your heart. Right? You can only give Him what He's given you. And when you tell God how precious the Lord Jesus is to you, that's worship. And that's what God desires. And that's what glorifies God. You want the other two? You sure? 18, chapter 18, and verse 43. This is the story of the blind man. And the question was asked, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. As a young man, I had one desire. I attended some Bible classes, and I enjoyed them. This brother, wherever he turned in Scripture, he found Christ, Christ, Christ. And I said, "Lord, I want the sight that he has. I want to see the beauties in the Lord Jesus that he sees. That's what I desire, Lord. What wilt thou? What do you want? I want my sight. I want to see." See what? Yon lovely man in all his beauty. Immediately he received his sight and followed him. What? That's all he saw. Nothing distracted him. It used to be when we had horses, you don't remember the time, do you, when you rode in buggies? We put on the eyes of horses what they called, what, blinders. You remember those blinders? What did they do that for? Straight ahead. Straight ahead. Shall we look straight ahead? No distraction. If you want to be distracted, look round about you. If you want to be absolutely discouraged, look within. But if you want to be delighted, look at him. And follow him in the way. Get your eye on Jesus. Finally, 23:47. Luke 23:47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, what did he see? The most wondrous sight that human eyes ever beheld. Christ on the cross. When he saw what was done, he glorified God. I'm going to stop here. And I'd like to preach on this. What is it? When you come to Calvary, and when you gaze upon that wondrous sight, what's the result? You will glorify God. You know, the light that flashes from Calvary will be the light of that city of gold where we'll dwell forever. The Lamb is the light thereof. Dark, dark Calvary, we sing. But there's no place like Calvary. O cross of Christ, O glorious tree, what place can be compared with thee? Where God's own Son was crucified and for our sins a ransom died. And then we sing, on death's dark veil, redemption glory shed. The brightest ray of glory, that that glorified God, it was Calvary. Now God grant that the shadows may be removed from our lives that hinder us from God's purpose in man, realized in redemption, that we give glory to God. You know what it says in the Word? Whatsoever ye do, do to what? Glory. Whatsoever we do, do to the glory of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank Thee that in the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy purpose in man was realized. And our prayer to Thee this morning is that as Thou didst find all Thy delight in Him, that Thou mightest find some of that delight in us. We desire to magnify the Lord with Mary. We desire our God that Thou shouldst be glorified in our lives, that we should have no glory for self, nor should we glorify man, but that Thou mayest receive the glory to delight Thy heart, and that is what we desire. And then our God and Father, as we are influenced by the Lord Jesus, we will influence others. And grant that we may be able to bring a little of heaven's sunlight into sorrowing hearts and lives, and speak the word of forgiveness to those who are burdened with the weight of their sins and all these shadows that come in. We thank Thee for heaven's light, and we thank Thee that our Lord Jesus will accomplish His ministry, not only to us, but through us in the lives of others. So we give Thee thanks then, and we seek Thy blessing in Christ's worthy name. Amen.